The Webcomic Beacon now presents First Issue, a brand new video series from the Webcast Beacon Network, in which three cartoonists from differing backgrounds take a look at the first issue of a comic and see if it succeeds or fails in doing what a first issue is supposed to do, and that is to make the reader want to get the next and following issues. You can check that out at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com.
News and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. This is episode 41 of the newscast for November 6th, 2011. I am Alex Heberling of the webcomic Alex's Guide at alexesguide.net. How you doing? And with me today is the wonderful, the delicious Fess.
Don't eat me.
PSIwebcomics.com.
Don't eat me. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, we are recording on a Tuesday morning. A little late, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. So I guess we'll just dive right into the news. Our top story today comes to us via the Twitter account of Ian Sharman about the London MCM Expo, which happened this past weekend, I believe. Unfortunately, it seems there were not so many good times at the MCM Expo this year for the group that they were with. Apparently, they had some problems with traveling arrangements and parking passes not being available to them, so they had to pay extra for parking and whatnot. And apparently, one of the studio members tweeted something, you know, complaining about the con, and then later got marched off by several of the staffers to justify himself and was kept, you know, like in some back room somewhere arguing with staffers for an hour.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Wonder what the tweet was. Is it on record? Do we have it?
I'm trying to figure out if that's the tweet that is actually in our source.
Was it Ian that was there that? Well, for anyone that, you know,
I think Ian and David were both there.
This side of the pond may not know about what the heck the London MCM Expo is. It's, I guess, at most their equivalent of San Diego Comic Con. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're kind of like a London Comic Con. I'm not sure what the MCM stands for, but they're kind of like branding themselves as the Comic Con of London. And I know lots of, you know, European artists and creators all attend.
Mm-hmm. Well, something to keep an eye on if you're one of our friends across the pond. And you know what? You know, if you ever hear of any other sort of like comic or geekery conventions, new ones that happen to be popping up, because I don't think London has too many of those or Europe in general has too many of those. But if there's a new one that happens to pop up, let us know, and we'll let other people know, because we do have some listeners that are in the English-speaking areas of Europe, as well as bilingual areas of Europe, obviously. let's see here.
I know there are quite a few in Europe, because I follow Yamino's Tumblr, and she, you know, has several that she goes to regularly.
Oh, so. Yeah.
There are at least a couple.
There's a few.
You should be checking out.
It might be a little bit more. That's something we'd like to know. Hey, actually, you know what? For the Webcomic Beacon core program, if there's some people out there that would like to talk about the convention scene across the pond, I think that'd be a very interesting episode, actually. And
yeah.
So please let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. to let us know. So, moving on, a little bit of a buzz going on right now. We have, there's been an evening with Warren Ellis, which, well, we've linked him a couple of times in the past on the newscast of where he is, you know, musing, basically. So what is this?
He's the creator of Freak Angels. And didn't he do print stuff before, like for the Big Two or the Big Four or something like that?
I'm
not entirely sure because I'm not like a regular reader of his. But he did do this Evening with Warren Ellis, which is, let's see, it's split up into five installments of the whole sort of recording. And apparently in part five, he talks about webcomics. I didn't get a chance to actually watch the video, but it's definitely something that people should probably check out.
You know, I'm almost not sure if this was already mentioned, but it sounds somewhat familiar unless we talked about a different part. But otherwise, here it is again. And speaking of interesting characters, Ryan Somers is going to create or has created a children's book. Is this what those, like, sort of intermittent, like, sort of like when, I don't know who the guy who does, this is the guy who does Least I Could Do?
Yeah, that's right.
And I wanna,
Looking for Group.
And Looking for Group. I'm going to read Eric's, by the way, Eric Kimball. We thank Eric Kimball for doing all the news gathering that you hear on the Webcomic Beacon newscast. And you can find his work at bladebunny.com. Not that other one, because he sold that one, and he sold it because it's too hard to say. It's really, no, it's just...
Yeah, it's too
He was getting burned out on that on that project and went on to other things. So we have bladebunny.com, easier to say, you can no longer take a shot. But he says, man most famous for At Least I Could Do, the webcomic that raises misogyny to the high art form, is writing a children's picture book. The book, unconnected to his comic outside of resources from At Least I Could Do, were used in this production. Interesting concept, particularly how it addresses typecasting in online communities. Mostly I wanted to read that. Raises misogyny to a high art form.
it's so true.
Not my thing is all I'll say.
No, I'll be honest. I tried to start reading At Least I Could Do because I met Lar at a convention a couple years ago, and he's such a nice guy. I figured I should probably start reading some of his work. But, sorry, Somer just is too much for me.
Tanya likes it. Tanya loves it, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep an eye out to see.
The art on this is really gorgeous. He's put 10 pages of the project up on a Behance gallery.
I keep forgetting. Which one's the writer? Which one's the artist?
Lar is the artist, and Somer is the writer.
Okay. And is Lars involved in this one or not?
I don't know offhand. I don't think he mentioned it. But
well, still something.
I think they've got, like, you know, a whole, you know, a stable of artists that they probably.
Is that the... Wait a minute. Here we go. The pictures are by Becky Drystadt. Now, who is that? It almost looks like the art from Tiny Kitten Teeth, just a bit, but I don't think so.
I don't know. I've never heard of her before.
Oh, well, there's that. And let's see here. Down to business. Comixology. Comixology CEO talks pricing of digital comics. Well, you got to take a shot there because you mentioned another digital comics provider. Did you take a look at this article?
Yeah, I did. I'm sad because I already finished my wine cooler, so I can't take a drink.
Oh, wine cooler. Wine cooler.
I'm a wussy lady drinker. Yeah, it was kind of an interesting interview. Not sure if it was saying anything particularly new. It did say that many publishers are going to the, you know, digital same day as print options for releasing their comics in digital form.
Mm-hmm.
And also talks a little bit about how, you know, the interviewer, you know, kind of takes him to task at how, you know, an issue costs $3.99 and, he, you know, you can also download a video game for the same price or sometimes less and play it for months on end and, you know, asking right. his take on the pricing.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like when you get a comic book, like a real comic book, you know, you keep that, you have that. It's you're buying artwork as well as a story. And so there's something to that. Mm-hmm. Digital, honestly, they should be a dollar. And but I can understand, you know, but the other thing is they don't want to dick their all the actual stores. And this is where I really, really, really respect Marvel and DC for, where it's, you know, they are thinking of those people, these small stores all over the place that you don't want to undermine these people that have been there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've always been I'm absolutely fine for like maybe same price, you know, day of, and then maybe a month later, drop it down to 99 cents. You know, you get the people that yeah. gotta have it now, sort of thing, and you can you sell it at that, because you know the thing with real, you know, brick and mortar stores is, you know, they're, you know, the, you know, Marvel, DC, any comic book publishing company with a distribution, they print a limited number.
Mm-hmm.
And unless demand is great, they don't print another run again. It'll usually come out in the trades. I think a bunch of the new 52s, number ones, did go into reprints, a second printing. So after a month, especially if a comic is good, you might not find it. Mm-hmm. Unless you go online to eBay or Craigslist or something like, you know, a secondhand distribution. And so, you know,
I found interesting in one of the guy's responses is that he says, let's face it, people don't buy comics in print because of some hope of resale value. They love to read the stories, which have value in and of themselves. Not to mention that if you're like me, you reread comics you buy, which, you know, references the, you know, the justifying the price of the digital copies.
Right.
So that's something to think about.
So I think Marvel did have like a subscription model for like way back issues, which mm-hmm. I thought was a pretty cool idea, because, you know, it's like that, nobody's really going to be making money off of those anymore.
Yeah.
Except for, I mean, a lot of those can be collectors now, collective issues now, where they're rare and they're worth, you know, potentially $5 an issue at least.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, moving on. Where is that tab? All right. So we also
have... From GigaOhm.com and TheNeimanLab.org, we have sort of some analysis of newspapers' paywall strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Which pretty much sums up to... it kind of works in the short term, but long-term growth doesn't always happen, even if the New York Times says they're awesome.
Right, right. I think we had, I think it was Jason Strasberg, a reader, a web fiction reader we have for the Web Fiction World podcast, sent me a link about something that happened at New England Comic Con or Emerald City Comic Con or somewhere, I don't remember, but he sent a news link that was released at the con from the New York Times, and he had the website didn't work because he needed to log in. It was behind a paywall. That didn't, you know, New York Times, that didn't help me use your service. For one thing, I don't know. It's, I don't read the newspaper. I listen to NPR on my mornings on my way home from work. That's where I get my news, aside from stuff I hear online, you know?
Yeah, me too. I don't think I've looked at a newspaper probably in at least 3 years, except to go through the coupons.
Yeah, and there's so many news sites out there that, you know, obviously we go through... Eric goes through, like, I mean, it's like he keeps adding another site that he has to check. And so your mileage will vary, but may not be a long-term strategy. That's the thing, you know. Newspapers were great back in the day, but when you get into people can access information from anywhere, you just don't need that many newspapers. And so you really got to figure out how to differentiate yourself and stand out, as well as adapt. And interestingly enough, if I can plug another one of the Webcast Beacon Network shows, the first issue where myself, Melissa Kircher, and Marcus review print comics, see if the first issue succeeds or fails as a number one issue. We're reading the 52 from DC right now. We didn't have this episode released yet, but we recorded it the other day. Superman number one kind of addresses this issue a little bit, as well as, I would have to say, so far out of the 52 number ones that I've read, it is one of the best of the 52. It is a class act comic. It has so much in it, and I was surprised by how much content was in it. It was only a $2.99 comic. It wasn't one of the $3.99s. And I think there were a lot more pages, and there's just a lot more arches. Like, I was just gushing off this. I was like, this is how you do a comic. Anyway, moving on. I thought that was just kind of interesting. This is somewhat related. There is apparently a sort of... anybody who's familiar with Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja will probably... might have come across an app called Cut the Birds. Which, I guess, if we'll combine those two apps into one, and then you get this. And it's getting a little bit... this one has some issues with it, because this is why it's related. A little bit of copyright issue. As well as just being a bad game, of course. But, you know, just because you're doing a parody doesn't mean you can straight copyright things. Use copyrighted material. You have to be able to make some differences, some changes, even if you're doing a parody, especially if it's a baseline for an entire product versus you have a character pop up one time in an update.
Yeah, recently I've been following Minecraft on Reddit, and apparently there's an iPhone, you know, clone/ripoff, whatever you want to call it, of Minecraft. That's just called Crafted on the iPhone market. That, you know, it's not a good game. The controls are bad and stuff like that. But still, this guy is actually making money. And, you know, he says, you know, if the creators want me to take it down, I will. They just need to let me know. Blah, blah, blah. I just love the game.
That's not how it works. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
if the creators want to sue you for compensation, they can, and they will.
And also, it kind of brings up the problem of, you know, Apple doesn't really seem to be taking any note of any sort of copyright infringement for things that get submitted to their app stores, which could be a problem.
But yet people have to pay 40% of their sale to Apple, and they have to wait for an approval process, of which I would argue that they're not really looking at every single one of these. I think they're
Tom Richmond's, you know, congressional representative app can be rejected for, you know, having being caricatures political of politicians, but apparently Cut the Birds and Crafted can go straight through.
Actually,
even though they're ripping off games.
Actually, pictures of politicians, that's legal. That's allowable.
Oh yeah, it is.
They're,
it's just
they're
the
public
App Store
figures, so
rejected his app at first. Just because they felt like it, because they thought it was defamatory, even though they were just caricatures, and it was just, you know, an app about information on contacting, you know, your senators and representatives. Get with it, App Store.
Yes. And speaking of rage, under our education center, Eric writes, El Santo over at the Webcomic Overlook is doing a survey on Rage Comics, which led him to say, "What the fuck are Rage Comics?" A quick internet search, and you'll understand, especially if you've ever been on like any of the meme network, the Cheeseburger Network, where you see like the "Why you no listen to podcast" or the other those weird
the
faces.
Yeah, guy and you know, Me gusta. Yeah.
That's how he says it. You look at that face, he has to be saying it that way.
Yeah.
Me gusta.
But yeah, they're sort of a, you know, sort of an open source, you know, crowdsourced comic images that people cobble together to express their ragey feelings.
I think they're fine.
I think they can be funny sometimes.
I think some of it's like with Rage comics, there's also some other ones that kind of get lumped into there, I think, that may not be like originally Rage, but they might be considered as much. Like you guys talked about this on the Tropecast, actually, a little bit, when you guys had the Introduction to Memes episode, where you had mentioned the guy who's just overly excited and holding a broom over his head, must clean all the things!
Oh, yeah, clean all the things. Yeah, those get remixed.
And things like that. I would like to see more of a better art for those, because it gets a little...
I don't know. I think the
it gets a little... Some of them are just way too sloppy, I would say, and it's like...
Yeah, I feel like that adds to their charm, though.
Yeah, your mileage will vary. But,
your mileage will vary.
There's a poll over at webcomicoverlook.com. And also, Lucy Nisley, I believe that's how you say her name. I think we've linked to some of her stuff before. She tells us why we like being scared in webcomic form. So it's kind of like a little, you know, it's like one of those things that teach you a little bit about yourself in a medium that we can enjoy reading versus a textbook.
Like a cartoon essay.
Yeah, a cartoon. There we go. There we go.
That was in the title of the IO9 article that linked to it.
Oh, well, there. Fine. Anyway, so go ahead and check that out at lucynicely.com. And we're going to take a quick break. A quick one. Just a little one. And we'll be right back.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
The break, gets 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 the break.
Mm-hmm. Just saving part one. All right, and we're back. And one thing I do have to mention, because it's barely 1 month away, it's less than 1 month away, December 4th is the Webcomic Beacon 4th Anniversary Special. That's right, and with that, as we go into the 5th year, during that special, we will have... Okay, maybe not during the special, if it's too complicated. But we have a lot of comic books to give away. And you can go to webcastbeacon.com/giveaways, giveaway right now. And you can enter to win one of these. Basically, people have submitted comic books to us for review. And in turn, they will also be used as giveaways on the site. And here's just so far. I mean, there's still a potential that we might get some more. But this is what we've got so far. Theater Hopper from theaterhopper.com has sent us his first three comic book compilations. These are like 100 to 200 pages of comics collected from year 1, 2, and 3. That will be one prize right there. And Bittersweet Candy Bowl from bittersweetcandybowl.com sent us their first collection, which is a huge 584-page hardcover book.
Yeah, it is a beautiful volume. I met those guys at Kineticon last summer, and I got to take a look at it, and it's pretty. It's surprisingly light.
It is surprisingly light. It is. It's kind of amazing. It's black and white. It's a collection from all of well, all from the beginning, back even when it was drawn on notebook paper. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that just a little bit because the blue lines do fade out a little bit. But you can kind of tell here or there. They did do a lot of cleanup on it, and some of the artwork had to been redone. So you can tell when there's been, like, the newer art in there to compensate for something that, you know, they couldn't reprint. I'm still reading it. I'm still reading Theater Hopper as well. See, I was just expecting to get, like, you know, like your simple, like, maybe 30 to maybe 50-page comic books submitted. but I got entire compilations. So I'll be doing a review of all of these. I'll probably do a video, and I won't be editing in everything because I don't have the time, but I will be doing a video, and I'll be showing the camera the books and flipping through some of the pages and giving my honest reviews about these. Additionally, we also have the first comic book of Zombie Ranch from ZombieRanchComic.com, and this is signed by both the artist and the writer, so that is cool. We also have the first comic compilation from Demon Graphics at demon-graphics.blogspot.com. That is another comic book. And most recently, we've had Jenner on the show for our Dr. Webcomics episode on the Webcomic Beacon. And he sent us Doc Rat Volume 6 and 7 softcover books. And that's at docrat.com.au. And this is, like I said, it's volume 6 and 7. Those are together as one prize as well. So, and they're not quite as big, but I think they're yearly compilations, or they're semi-yearly compilations. So, they're like a nice little, just a nice little like booklet. And there's two of those, and so far, well, that's a lot of prizes for right now, and if there's a potential that we may get more, oops, my phone went off. And if you are interested in submitting anything to us for this, for either a review or for a prize, you can get a hold of us. You can check out, well, go to webcomicbeacon.com/contribute and look under printed book reviews or product reviews and giveaways to see how you can be a part of our fourth anniversary special. Sponsorship is still available for that show and many other podcasts on the Webcast Beacon Network. And we are going to go right back into the newscast because that is what this episode is, starting with some deviant art tutorials. Now we've gone through, we occasionally get some these tutorials. Eric is the one that looks these up. And I'm not entirely sure how he decides which ones to pick, but wow, that's really cool. We have, let's see here, we have the first DeviantArt tutorial comes from, it's hard to tell how you're supposed to pronounce some of these
Dasadam people. Dasadam.
Dasadam from DeviantArt has a step-by-step to make a mecha, which is pretty interesting. It's surprisingly, it's like one of these long, like tall tutorials where it just starts with like some swoopy shadows and such, and by the end of it, it's like, wow, that just, it almost came out of nowhere.
A bunch of random shapes,
yeah,
and turns into a mecha at the end. It's pretty cool.
And there's this really cool nose tutorial from Nimportant. And that's a really good nose. It's a GIF animation, which shows you a bit of the process and coloring. And check that out. We have another tutorial on horse tails from Imi-10. We also, in addition to that, we have horse mane from Print of Hooves. We also have a grass tutorial, which comes
not
from Jerry.
Not that kind of grass, you guys.
Yeah, it comes from Jerry 8448, which will give a little spring to your grass. There's another tutorial on perspective by Shattered Earth. And I just dropped something on the floor. Where did it go?
It's so far away. So very far. I don't think I can make it.
But because of the perspective that's involved. But, yeah, a lot of things that are... a lot of people don't do perspective very well, and this tutorial can certainly give you some help, just as well as just observing things in your own living space. Not everything's going to be the same size from every single angle. Next up, we have a very detailed digital painting tutorial from Tinkek Marinkek.
However I got nothing for that. For that username.
Yep, and it's actually a Flash interface, which I would say is a little slow, but it's got basically if you want a nice tutorial, like one link for a few things, this looks really, really nice. It's kind of set up almost as if though it was a book. A little slow to go through, but there's some decent information in here. And we also have a tutorial on hairstyles from Enat. It's, I think we've had some hair tutorials before. Mm-hmm. So this is certainly another one you can add to the list. That's what I use. I keep the newscast ready for like my tutorial lookup.
I always add a bunch of things to my favorites every week from this.
I think I'll go through some of the newscasts and try to put together a tutorial page, just tutorials we've linked to, or maybe some of the best of the best. I don't know. It sounds like a daunting task, but it's something I'll do. Actually, if somebody wants to go through and do that for me, hey. We also got some...
Yeah, DeviantArt is also a really good place for resources, not just tutorials, but custom brushes and textures. And this week we've got a mythic brush set, which includes brushes of like stars and glowy, bubbly things and halos and all that kind of stuff, as well as a watercolor texture pack, which you can use to add some interest to your arts. The brush set is from ratch-resources.deviantart.com, and the watercolors are from maison.deviantart.com.
And, that's an odd one. There's some, let's see here, what did Eric call it?
Photo references.
Photo references. I'm not sure if we'll continue to do these in the future, because I think there's some other sites that do it better than these DeviantArt ones, which are just single pictures, but I'll mention them anyway. There's this lady with long hair and a fantastic dress just kind of sitting on a stone wall in the woods, kind of. So with that, you can get some, you can actually use it for a reference, a direct reference, or even just look at hair and dress flowing, for one thing. Another one is kid just kind of standing, holding himself up in a doorway, which I guess you could look at for some muscles or angulars, but it's a little weird looking. He has pointy ear hat on too. He's supposed to be like a demon.
Yeah, he's
nymph,
got like little horns on.
Yeah.
I guess it's supposed to look like a nymph or a satyr.
Yeah. And we have a girl laying on her side with a broom looking like she's flying. So that's a pretty good idea. And, we have a Blood Elf cosplay. Sweet. These are all findable in our tutorials when we post it on the thing. I think they also, you know what, they might actually also have some additional references on their total guide. So this first one was from Liam Stock. Next one's Stock by Casey. And the next one was SBG Krustock. And the cosplay was from Lena Lara.
There's whole accounts on DeviantArt just dedicated to stock images that you can use for reference.
Hmm.
My favorite one is Senshi Stock, actually.
All right.
I've talked about her before.
Well, maybe instead of like the single shots, maybe just like picking out single stock creators would be an idea. That'd be my suggestion for the future, Eric, if you're listening. And in any case, right now, we shall move back on to regular news. I think we're done with our deviant art or education section events. Curvy the webcomic. Very not safe for work webcomic.
But very fun webcomic.
Is going to support Planned Parenthood. I don't know what our audience entirely is, but our at least vocal audience, I think, would be mostly in favor of this. I don't think we have a whole lot of listeners that listen to any of their programming that's really against Planned Parenthood, or we haven't heard of it. But I think this is really cool.
Yep, for the entire month of November, all the proceeds from Kirby's books are going to go to Planned Parenthood.
Sweet. And, yes, it is November. And with November comes 30 Characters Challenge Month. For those who don't know, 30 Characters Challenge is... Well, it happens at the same time of NaNoWriMo, which is also this month. Which is... Well, NaNoWriMo is a writing challenge. 30 Characters Challenge is a character design challenge. Mostly meant for artists to basically create 30 characters for each day of the days in November. But writers can also get on it too, though he says you should at least, you know, draw a sketch of the character, but otherwise it's basically writing up a description, because it's the whole point is to create a new character and also push yourself to burn through it. And you know, it's a challenge. You know, what are you going to, you know, challenge for? This is something that where you can just like punch out some ideas if you really are looking to maybe make a new comic or maybe add some new characters to your comic. Or for me, last year I only got 15, and this year I just don't have time. Last year I got 15, and I actually pushed out a couple of characters that I had on my mind. I just hadn't gotten around to like make them yet. And that is last year where I think I drew at least one of the goddesses for PSI, two characters that I want to add into PSI, and one character I just kind of came up with and thought, hey, that might make a cool villain in PSI at another point. And, you know, I kind of, there's a couple of characters in there I did want to use, and a couple of them I just like, I made a character. So it's a decent exercise. You can check that out at 30characters.com. That's 30characters.com. And this one made me feel old.
Yeah.
Child's Play Charity is now 8 years old and a year-round charity with a dedicated staff. It made me feel old because I remember when it got started. But, so that's really cool. Child's Play is a gamer's charity sort of thing, basically, to get money and video games to children's hospitals. So, to help with the recovery of whatever may ail them. So, you can check that at childsplaycharity.org. That news comes to us from Fleen. A lot of the other news is, we haven't been mentioning. Some of them have come from Fleen or IO9, GigaOM. And these will all be properly credited in the show notes, if you go to newscast.webcomicbeacon.com is where you can find the newscast podcast. Here, you take the next one.
Okay, well, we're on to our tidbits section now. This is called Goldmine Tales, a slightly fictionalized telling of the going on behind Platinum Studios. Now, I didn't have time to read through any of these in any real detail, but there's so far like 9 installments of this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it says, Goldmine Tales is my attempt to inject some humor into a series of what would otherwise be bland blog posts about the state of entertainment in the 21st century. Goldmine Tales focuses on a transmedia comic book company called Goldmine Studios and features a main character called Stan Darcy and his day-to-day interactions with his boss. The events, characters, and firms depicted are the below are fictitious, and any similarity to actual persons, blah, 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 coincidental. Enjoy.
But we all know.
But we all know. Come on, yeah, let's be honest.
Yes. If you don't know about Platinum Studios, you could probably do a search for it on the internet, and you'll find plenty. You'll find plenty. Let's see. Next up, we have an Infamous Canvas Halloween comic. Uses non-linear storytelling with clickable portions of the images. Clickable portions of the image to present multiple scary vignettes that all relate to the one image that you are given. And it's very, very interesting. The art is really cool. This comes to us from comicsbeat.com and is found at mcarroll.com/comics.margot, which has a T at the end. Because I know it's not pronounced Margot.
It is in Germany, actually.
They say Margot.
For some reason,
in Germany.
Margot.
Margot. Is that maybe where Margaret came from?
It's possible.
I have no idea. Anyway, it's very cool. Take your time. Treat it like a point and click adventure, kind of. Because I thought it wasn't working. It's like what I thought you were supposed to click. It's like certain parts of the images are clickable, like the mirror on the wall, or the doll on the desk, or the flowers hanging from the wall. You know, that sort of thing. So that's very cool. So check that out. And speaking of more death, another article on the death of publishers comes to us from GigaOM. More cutting of the, manslaughtering of the middleman. because a lot of people are going direct to consumers, be it digital or like a lot of webcomics, it's, you know, just direct from the creator to the reader. So there's an interesting article there at GigaOM. Did you actually read through this?
Yeah, the interesting thing I saw is that Kobo, which is the company behind one of the tablets on the market right now, is launching its own publishing arm to sign deals directly with authors to produce content for them.
Well, I don't think there's anything really wrong with that. Less people to take a portion away from the people who actually do create the work. Granted, exactly. There is still a lot of work and effort that goes into marketing and distribution, and that should not be discounted. But I do have to make a reminder to people in the world of webcomics that the less middlemen you have, the more work you have. And some people don't realize that. And from comicspeed.com, the head of Universal Studios says that Cowboys and Aliens was a bad movie. Or Cowboys versus Aliens, or whatever
it's
it was.
It's not Versus.
Versus was the comic. Well, I think we talked about this before. The webcomic was Versus. The story went, there was a pitch. The pitch sounded good, but they wanted to see more than just the pitch. And so they went and they created content. They created the webcomic, Cowboys vs. Aliens. And apparently there were several writers that were along the ride of Cowboys vs. Aliens. And when it got to be approved for a movie, they changed it to Cowboys and Aliens so they didn't have to cut most of the writers in.
That's kind of shady.
It is kind of shady. Apparently the company, Platinum, has done this before, apparently, for Men in Black. At least that's what I was told. I don't have a quick reference here, but I was told that Platinum or the company behind Platinum or people involved in Platinum were also responsible for Men in Black, which was a comic but I went to a movie, people didn't get paid enough, or there was some things going on. Another reason, Google search Platinum Studios. We have a few oddities here in the system. Now, I don't quite get this one. Comic conventions are a good place for women to pick up men? What? Did you read
that? Yeah, I kind of skimmed it since we started right when I was getting towards the end of the list.
Right, right. It's like the comicspeed.com link is New York City Comic Con men, if you're here to get laid, leave. Ladies, if you're here to get laid, take your pick. It's what?
Most of the Comic Cons and other various cons that I go to, people are less preoccupied with getting laid than they are with squeeing over their favorite stuff.
Yeah. Was there an actual speed dating event here? Is that what they're talking about?
Let's see.
Or is it just the...
I guess New York Comic Con did have a speed dating event.
Ah. Yes, we had a speed dating thing for Ardra couple of months back, which is pretty fun. I would like to be in one of those just to see what they're like.
Yeah, I've never done speed dating.
But, I don't know, it's like you wouldn't think... It all depends on the con. I mean, it's like you can have a con where you can have a lot of nerds. Like, nerd cons, I would argue, are probably going to be the best because you got a lot of like people there. And you can, I think for at least more of the older people that go to them, the non-chillins that go, will probably have a better time of not freaking out, oh my god, there's women here, sort of thing. And just like, hey, women nerds, that's cool. And then you just get together and you geek out about Doctor Who or whatever versus... I don't know, convention dating, convention hookups, convention romance and drama is all, I don't know, it's a messy thing to get into.
It can also be a good time.
A grand old time if you're not if you're not only there to try to bone everybody. Let's see here. Oh yeah, this is an oddity. Just real quick, there's an email alias system that I found from Agent X on Twitter, which basically it's a tempalias.com, where if you want to use a website or a temporary website service, especially one that might be known for just being hard to unsubscribe from, you just don't have to give them your information. You give them this email alias, and the email alias will time out after a certain amount of time that you set, and then... You know, they can keep trying to send you an email, but it won't go through. So it's a little oddity. It's a little fun for some people that may be going through sign-up sites and may not sure if they can trust them.
And yeah, then, I wish I'd had this service when I signed up for Ohio Democratic Party emails. Because signing up for that email mailing list, like, signed me up for 6 other Democratic politician in Ohio lists.
Interesting.
And especially this time of year, I get a lot of emails from those.
Well, there you go.
And I'm, like, slowly weeding them out and unsubscribing from them.
Yeah, I get a bunch of emails from, like, Free the Internet and the Republicans and the Democrats. And for some reason, I get both Democratic and Republican emails. I think my dad might have signed me up for the Republican ones. I don't know. But so there you go.
I was early voting, so I did it, like, 2 weeks ago.
And one last little bit. Here's a look at how venture capital pitches work at gigaohm.com. Something to be pretty interesting. And for people that have trouble trying to pitch their work nonetheless, seeing more ways of how you can do a pitch can be beneficial.
And if you're looking for financing for something.
Absolutely. Such as, I should probably read this to see if I can get some people in on, for the Webcast Speaking Network. See if anybody wants to invest in the podcast network, or maybe for Webcomic Z. Maybe going on a new dedicated hosting service somewhere or something like that. I don't know. That does bring us to the end of the Webcomic Beacon newscast at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. Pretty much every day, not every day of the week, every week. If we're not here on Sunday, we should have a show up by Tuesday night at the latest. And
come rain or snow or wind or storm.
Well, maybe except for holidays or conventions. but pretty much, yeah, I can say that for like 99% of the time, we should have a newscast at least once a week. We do have a couple of milestones that I do want to mention. We do have Blue Yonder hits its first year anniversary. That's at blueyondercomic.com. So congratulations on that. There's also Chris Howard has sent us a link to Dressed for Success at egestacomics.com has hit its 100th page. Congratulations on that. As well as we have a press release from Shadowbinders Volume 1 is now available at shadowbinders.com. So congratulations on moving to print from your webcomic.
I have a milestone too, actually.
Oh?
It's just a little milestone. Oh? My comic, Alex's Guide, started as a 24-hour comic that I did in 2008. And the third anniversary of that is November 8th, which is the day this show will go up.
Hooray!
Hooray! So the first 24 pages are 3 years old.
Hooray! And with that, be sure to go to webcastbeacon.com/giveaway to get in on the fourth anniversary special giveaway for the Webcomic Beacon podcast. I have been Fess of psiwebcomic.com.
And I have been Alex of alexisguide.net.
Thank you all for tuning in. See you next week.
Peanut butter and jelly.